All right. Good morning, friends. Great to see everyone. We missed you all last week. Nice change in the weather for this weekend, a touch of spring for a few days at least. We're going to close our hour with communion at the Lord's table. And just a reminder, at the end of the service, if there's anything on your heart and you'd like to linger with the Lord in conversation or prayer, feel free to do that. Pastors will be at the front of the room if you'd like an opportunity to talk. We missed the worst of the cold weather. Chicago, it seems, was hit with the worst of it. Temperatures from 20 to 25 below zero. There's a tent city for the homeless near one of the expressways in Chicago. Trying to compensate for the bitter cold, a propane tank was too close to a space heater. The tank exploded. The tent city caught on fire. Tent city had to be evacuated. A local real estate developer heard the news on the radio and immediately called a nearby hotel to book 20 rooms. Somebody heard about that, put it on social media, and it went viral. In just a short time, donations of transportation, food, and money started pouring in. 60 rooms were reserved at this hotel. Over 100 men, women, and children were brought in from the streets to spend the night where it was warm. What if the church could be God's first responders? We're looking at a story out of 1 Corinthians 13. It's called the Love Chapter. Paul's writing this letter to the church in Corinth. They weren't simply one of the churches in Corinth. They were the first church in Corinth, the first church of those that followed the way of Jesus. This was a church that believed in Jesus, but they were full of confusion. They didn't yet understand what it meant to look, live, and love like Jesus. And the confusion showed up in so many different ways. So Paul said, I think I can help. I'll send you a letter. He followed it up later with a second letter. He's not teaching the church what it means to look like an organization. He's not teaching them what the church looks like as an organization with boards and committees and programs. He's trying to teach them what it means to be the hands and feet of Jesus. He's teaching about God's unfailing love, teaching them about God's endless grace. We enjoy 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. But we shouldn't skip over the last verse of chapter 12. He's going through the first 12 chapters, teaching them what it means to look, live, and love like Jesus in a world that's so different from the kingdom of God. And then he comes to the end of chapter 12, and as if to say, I've told you all of this, and so now I'm excited to show you a more excellent way. And then he goes into chapter 13. One of my favorite authors is a lawyer by the name of Bob Goff. G-O-F-F. His first book came out a number of years ago called Love Does. He recently followed it up with a second book called Everybody Always. And he tells some wonderful stories in there about putting God's love into action. The premise of his book and his heart is that God wants us to love everybody always. And he even suggests that we should start with the people that creep us out. He says we should love the people near us and we should love the people that we try and keep far away from us. He said to look, live, and love like Jesus, we have to get closer to the people that God created, and that includes all of them. Endless grace. It's about loving God and loving our neighbor. So who's our neighbor? In this world, our neighbor is anyone in need within our reach. We're all somebody's neighbor. God has a master plan, a whole world of neighbors. And guess what? John 1:14, Jesus came and moved into the neighborhood. The Word of God is so challenging. He certainly calls us to love one another, and not only to love our friends, but to love even our enemies. Why? Because Jesus came to earth to turn God's enemies into God's friends. So what does endless grace look like? Endless grace in the verses we're about to look like teach us that we should find a way to love difficult people more. Endless grace in the verses we're about to look at teach us that we should find someone we've been avoiding and begin to show them God's love. Endless grace. the verses we're about to unpack teach us that when we think that someone is wrong, someone we disagree with, someone who's not like us at all, we should go and love them the way we want Jesus to love us. Endless grace, everybody always. What if the church could be God's first responders? Let me say a prayer and we'll begin with verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But let me pray. Father, help us now. We bow in your presence. We thank you for the spirit of worship, the word that has been read, the prayer that's been offered, for the blessing of the choir. And now, Lord, our hearts are ready to hear your voice. May your living word come alive in our hearts and minds. May your voice linger with us. Prepare us to come to your table. Fill us with your endless grace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians 13, the first verse. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I'd only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. If only. Verse 1 talks about having human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but without love, it's nothing more than a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, the creaking of a rusty gate. We love hearing a band and the drummer, if he's good, he or she is good. We love when they hit the cymbals, we can anticipate it, and it sounds so beautiful, and the timing is great. But a drummer that misses the beat and hits the cymbal at the wrong time, it's not a pretty picture. And the word is telling us that's what our lives are like, just somebody beating a cymbal in all the wrong moments, unless we're filled with God's love. Verse 2, we can speak God's word with power, revealing all of his mysteries, making everything plain as day. And if we could say to the mountain, jump, and it does, but if we don't have love, we're nothing. Verse 3, we could take everything we have, give it to the poor, empty our wallets, empty our bank accounts. We could even go to the stake and be burned as a martyr, but without love, it would get us nowhere. So no matter what we say, no matter what we believe, no matter what we do, without love, we're bankrupt. Without love. So what kind of love is Paul describing? In the English, we have one word for love, and I use it to describe my affection for my bride and my affection for chocolate. The Greeks took it to a higher level. They had different words used to describe love. They had a word for storge love, the love of family members for one another, the love we enjoy within our families. They had a word for phileo, the love of companionship between close friends, the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. They had a word for eros, the sexually expressed love between a couple in marriage, and agape. This is the love that Paul is writing about in 1 Corinthians 13, agape, which is a love that calls us to look, live, and love like Jesus. You see, agape love is more than love for family members, although it strengthens our love for family members. Agape love is more than our love of companionship, although it strengthens our love for our friends. It's far more than a sexually expressed love, although it strengthens even the expression of that love. Agape love is the essence of what it means for us to look, live, and love like Jesus. And that's what the writer is talking about. We can be the most inspiring speaker in all the world, but if we don't love like Jesus, we're nothing more than a clanging cymbal. We can sing like the angels, but if we don't love like Jesus, we're nothing more than a clanging cymbal. We can teach theology, explain the deepest mysteries of God for all the world to know, but if we don't love like Jesus, we would be nothing. We can have faith great enough to do impressive miracles, but if we don't love like Jesus, we would be nothing. We could sell everything, give it to the poor, but if we don't love like Jesus, we gain nothing. We can die as a martyr, but if we don't love like Jesus, we gain nothing. Whatever we say, whatever we believe, whatever we do gets us nowhere. And so he goes on to define this agape love in the next few verses. I saw a story this weekend. Last week, during the bitterest hours of the cold, the storm, Andrea Kuzak is a pharmacist in rural Michigan. She's been in town long enough. She knows all of her patients. She knows them by name. She knows their medications and the schedule they're on. But with the storm, she knew that they wouldn't be able to get to the pharmacy to refill their prescriptions, and some of them would be in a dangerous place if they didn't stay on schedule with their medicine for their diabetes or high blood pressure. So she decided to enlist the help of her 15-year-old son, and they fired up the snowmobile and put on their gear. And they went into town to the pharmacy, and she gathered the medicine she needed, and then they started a trip door to door until all of her patients in need had been served. What if the church could be God's first responders? Love does everybody, always. Verse 4, love is patient, it's kind, not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It doesn't demand its own way, it's not irritable, keeps no record of being wrong, it doesn't rejoice with injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance, prophecy, and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge. One day, it all becomes useless. But love will last forever. This is what agape love looks like. This is what it means for us to look, live, and love like Jesus. Patient and kind with one another, putting aside jealousy and boasting and pride and being rude, not demanding our own way, not irritable, not keeping score, no celebrating injustice, but rejoicing whenever the truth wins out. Love that never gives up, never loses faith, love that's always helpful, enduring through every circumstance. The word is telling us that the seemingly most important spiritual gifts will one day become useless, but love will last forever. And Jesus said, letting the world see the way we love one another is the best way to show them his love. Living proof of a loving God to a watching world. It's as if, are you ready? It's as if when people meet us, they should be meeting Jesus. It's as if when people spend time with us, they should be spending time with Jesus. Love does. Everybody, always. Then we come to verse 9. This past week in Iowa, Scotty and Cassie were expecting a baby. Just before the storm started, she began to have labor pains. They went to the hospital. They decided that, yes, you're having real pains, but it's not time yet. False labor, they sent her home. And then, at the height of the storms, their little baby boy said, I'm ready. But the storm was too great, the wind and the snow too much, and they couldn't get out to the hospital, so Dad called 911, and then while he was waiting for the EMTs and the medics to arrive, he delivered his little boy. In the moments that that took, the EMTs arrived, and they helped the proud dad. They showed him how to cut the umbilical cord. Whenever the EMTs are called out, the firemen also show up, and as they arrived and they saw everything was safe inside with mom and baby and a very proud dad, they looked around, what can we do? And so they shoveled the driveway from front to back, clear to the street, so that when all was well, and the ambulance arrived, mom and baby could safely get out the door and into the ambulance and go to the hospital where they could be checked out. And what if the church could be God's first responders, people taking care of one another? Love does. Everybody, always. We come to verse 9. Now, in this world, on days like this, now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things, they'll become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child, but when I grew up, I put away these childish things. Now in this world, right now, we can only see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then, we see everything with perfect clarity. All that I now know is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. In this world, you understand, we understand all too well, our knowledge is partial and incomplete. Even prophecy never reveals the whole picture. We speak and think and reason like a child. We see things imperfectly, and all that we do know now is partial and incomplete. But there is a time of perfection coming. There is a time that's promised when everything we're excited to know now will one day become useless because of all we can see in that moment. And so we put away our limited childish understanding. We'll begin to see everything completely as God sees it, and we'll know everything completely just as God knows us completely even now. And these three things last forever: faith. The theologians in the room will understand that in the original language, the word faith can also be synonymously translated as trust. See the word faith in the Bible, think trust. Faith is trust, is faith. Hope. Hope is this joyful and confident expectation. These three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. Love, this extravagant love for God flowing in us, this extravagant love from God flowing through us. But the greatest of these is love. Have you ever wondered why love is the greatest of the three? One possibility to suggest: in that day, when we will see and know everything because we're in His presence, faith will no longer be necessary because we are face to face with God. The faith we needed to get there will no longer be needed because Jesus is there with us and we are with Him. Hope. The hope that gets us through the heartache of today will no longer be needed because the promise will have been fulfilled and we will be with our loved ones in God's presence. The greatest of these is love, because in that moment, when we see and know everything perfectly because we are with the God who's fulfilled every promise He's made, love will be the greatest, because that will be the emotion consuming us as we love God and one another in ways we can only begin to imagine now. In a suburb outside of Chicago this past week, families in this one neighborhood came out and found these handwritten notes carefully fastened to their door. The wind chill temperatures were dangerously low, 50 below zero in some places. So Sabil Ahmad and his wife Asma handwrote this note multiple times. Here's what the note said: "My family and I are available if you need assistance in picking up groceries, medicine, or clearing the snow." They wanted to leave it especially for their elderly neighbor next door, but they thought maybe there are others that need some help. So they wrote that same note out, handwritten, and took it to the door of neighbors all around them. Sabil, by the way, is the director of an Islamic outreach organization. with a focus on teaching the community how to be better neighbors. He said, we didn't want anything in return. We just wanted to be a good neighbor. What if the church could be God's first responders? Love does, everybody, always, endless grace. The first 12 chapters, Paul is saying, I love that you guys have found Jesus. I love that you're now a church, but you're still struggling to learn what it means to look, live, and love like Jesus. So let me try and help you. I'm not going to show you what the church as an organization should look like, but I want to show you how you can be the hands and feet of Jesus in a world like this. And now he gets through chapter 12. He's at the last verse, and he says, now, I've said all of that because I'm so excited to show you a more excellent way. It's the way of love. What if the church could be God's first responders, the hands and feet of Jesus in our world today, teaching about God's unfailing love, demonstrating, sharing his endless grace. Everybody, always, let me say a prayer, and then Pastor Bill will come forward and prepare us to receive from the Lord's table. Father, we thank you for your unfailing love and your presence in this world today. We thank you that you created a world of neighborhoods, and you want us to love you and one another and our neighbor, to share this endless grace, to show the world your unfailing love, to be your endless grace in places of need. Help us now, Father, as we come to your table and receive this means of grace. We give you thanks for your presence now in Jesus' name. Amen.